And in the same encyclical, and with this I conclude because I'm sick and tired of it, in this same encyclical, the Pope says, with the incarnation of Christ, man has been revealed to himself. Wow. He's only quoting Gaudium et Spes number 22. Man has been revealed to himself. Until this Pope taught me to forget my old faith, I had always believed that the New Testament was who had revealed the Son and the Holy Spirit to us. I always thought that the message of the New Testament was revealing the Son, the Incarnation, and the Holy Spirit. And this Pope tells me man has been revealed to himself. I think he was in India for too long. That's why people went in the 60s to find themselves. Yes. So what we have here all together is not only a new church, it is a Gnostic sect. Look up in the dictionary the word G-N-O-S-T-I-C. Look it up in the dictionary. Gnostic, Gnostic. It comes from Gnosis. Erkenntnis, no. Enlightenment. The word, there is no good translation in English for the word Gnosis. There's only one in not even in Italian. Erkenntnis in German. Sometimes in psychology, modern psychology, even in the English language, the word Erkenntnis is used for that reason. Because there is no proper term in English. It's the fact that you realize something. But there's no word for the realization, but that's, I don't think that's good English. So that's Gnosis. Now, a Gnostic sect, I don't have to explain to you what a sect is. You know about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I like them much more than the New Church, because the Jehovah's Witnesses at least try to mission to convert other people, which personally, subjectively speaking, is a nice effort. Now, in the modern church, they will tell you to join another religion instead. So a Gnostic sect is a sect that believes that man is the superior being and only the recognition of things in our brain is what counts. Which means you have a purely subjective religion, which means you make your own religion, and which means you can do whatever you want, it'll be fine. That'd be nice. As Gilbert Keith Chesterton said, if I was not a Catholic, I would have a harem. So you see how absurd. You see the absurdity of things. We are living in a Gnostic sect founded by Vatican II, which our dear beloved present Pope calls the Second Pentecost. And I cannot say amen to that. I disagree with him. He's a heretic. I reject his teachings. I do not reject his papacy. I reject what he does in his papacy, and I reject what he says, period. Questions and answers.
What do you do, like, if people who can't reach all Latin America? I have a sister that lives in West Virginia, and, you know, she has small children, and I'm, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that question is on yesterday's tape, so I can answer briefly now. You must not go to the new mass, because the new mass is against the will of the church, against the will of God, it's against divine law. It is an illegal rite, illicit. It's not only against divine law, it's against eternal law, too. Eternal law is first, then divine law as his own interpretation of his own eternal law, and then positive law, natural law, and then positive law. It's against positive law, pronounced by Pius V, it's against the natural law as the tradition of the Church, and it's against divine law as the dogma of the Council of Trent, and it's against eternal law, therefore. You cannot attend the Novus Ordo Mass unless you have to for social purposes, like you did, and in this case you do not say amen, because amen does not mean, all right, it's okay. Amen means yes, yes, yes. You can't say yes to the new Mass. The new Mass does not represent the Catholic faith, but yesterday's conference, I can give you more information on that later on. But now, as the camera is running. Humanly speaking, zilch, zero, rien, nada, nix, nichts, gar nichts, ничего, niente. Thank you.
Thank you.
humanly speaking, God has to work a miracle. But I mean, I don't know if God will work a miracle. He might end the world. I don't know. I ain't no prophet. I'm not judging people who do not know. You cannot commit a sin if you don't know. Sometimes ignorance is a sin, but not the thing you do because of ignorance. You what?
I call it the nervous order.
Very good, yeah. You should call it the nervous disorder.
I walk in with without a chip on my shoulder, go out with a chip.
It's a, absolutely, yeah.
Right,
yeah. Well, it's a disorder, but we talked about that yesterday. Is everything I told you about Vatican II so crystal clear that there are no questions? I doubt that. Don't be afraid of asking a stupid question. Only the one who laughs about a stupid question is stupid. Well, I know that several cardinals were Masons. I don't know about living cardinals. I have no information on that. I doubt there is no Mason among the cardinals, but I don't know how many. I know several cardinals were Masons. There's no sense in naming names here. Most of them you won't know anyway. And I know that the Masons have tried already in the last century to infiltrate the church, and they succeeded because Pope Leo XIII, Secretary of State, was a Mason. But this I have said in my first conference. You will have it on tape. And as far as the infiltration of the church is concerned, I can give you an information which I did not mention. I forgot the day before yesterday. In the 1930s, Stalin started already to insert KGB agents into Western seminaries. And in 1974, NATO, in its annual report, not the report you could buy at the newspaper stand, but the report that fortunately I got to see, estimated 3,000 KGB agents to be found among the Catholic hierarchy, that means priests and bishops. 3,000 KGB agents. NATO in 1974. Don't kill me if it was 76, but I think it was 74.
Are they in the Vatican?
Of course there are KGB agents in the Vatican. You think the KGB is stupid? The KGB is not the CIA, Christians in Action. That's the field term for them. And the infiltration must be deep down.
Yes?
The real presence, of the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. Yes, yes, yes. It's very typical of Martin Luther because it's not typical Cranmer. Now Cranmer permitted communion in the hand, but he did not allow the communicant to stand. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, the founder of the Anglican Rite, he insisted on the communicant kneeling because he believed it was symbolic bread that could contain, like a can, you know, contain Christ for those who believe in it. Luther insisted fully and totally on the meal. This is why the Novus Ordo Church doesn't have an altar. It has a buffet table. Yeah, Luther said so. The Herr Dr. Martin Luther said, an altar is for a sacrifice, a table is for a meal. And now we have the Catholic churches with tables, including St. Peter's Basilica now, not the papal altar. The papal altar can't be changed, can't be turned around. That's a different thing. I would have to give a special lecture on old altars of basilicas in Rome. There was never in the history an altar facing the people. The altar always went toward the east. So if the apse of a church had to be built in the west, then the altar had to be turned around. Okay, but in St. Peter's Basilica, in the apse of St. Peter's Basilica, at the chair of St. Peter's, where I was ordained, right there, now they have taken away, they have covered up the old altar facing God, and they have what I call encrusted spaghetti, the new altar. It looks like encrusted and colored spaghetti. And that's the new altar there.
I went to my daughter in one of the masses at St. Bridget's, and I said, this is my church, where's the tabernacle? She said, but I'm 10 feet from the baptism.
Yeah, Only in bishops' churches in the old days, that's what it had to be, for the simple reason that when a bishop celebrates a pontifical high mass, the Blessed Sacrament must not be on the altar. This is symbolic because the bishop fully represents Christ. I only partially represent Christ. I'm not a full priest. I'm a priest good enough for saying mass. I'm not a priest good enough for making priests. These hands are not fertile. I cannot have children. Priests, I mean. Otherwise I could, but I cannot have children. Right? These hands cannot consecrate, so I'm not a full priest. And the bishop, when he celebrates, especially the bishop of his diocese, on the altar has 7 candle holders, like the old menorah. There's not the 6 candles, but there's a 7th candle put up in front of the cross in the center, because now he's the full priest, the high priest, the bishop of his own diocese. And the bishop of his own diocese, therefore, does not have the Blessed Sacrament on his altar, but in the chapel. A cathedral always has a chapel of the Blessed Sacrament. So nobody could complain about the fact that St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York does not have the Blessed Sacrament on the high altar. That's normal. That's right. Because it's an Episcopal church, not Episcopalian. It's the church of the bishop. It's a cathedral. But a regular parish church has to have the Blessed Sacrament in the center of the church and not somewhere shoved away. But this is what the conciliar church thinks about the Blessed Sacrament. And again, it shows, because it's part of liturgy. Well, anyway, the point is, you cannot fulfill your Sunday obligation to new mass, you must not attend the new mass, and you must not collaborate with them. Would you work for the local Episcopalian church?
No, I did it with my daughter. She wanted...
No, I'm asking her. Would you work for the local Episcopalian? No, why not? They're much better than what you're working for. Huh? I prefer the Episcopalians 10 times over, even if they got a bishopress in Boston now, but who cares?
So Father actually knows that.
I didn't say that. Oh, be careful. Be very careful with what you say.
I'm asking.
If a modern priest, no matter what language he uses, no matter what ritual he uses, if a modern priest has the intention to baptize a child into the Catholic Church for the forgiving of the original sin, and if he says so, then the baptism is valid, as the baptism of a Muslim right out on the highway would be valid. If I have an accident on the highway and there's a guy with me in the car who is not baptized and the only one passing by is an Arab with a towel head, I want somebody, I can't move, I'm right there in the car, and this guy right next to me says, Father, please baptize me, I think I'm gonna die, I would have to wait until somebody shows up, and I would ask this Muslim to find me the Thomas bottle with water back there and baptize the guy next to me. The church has said everybody can baptize. Unless he does not have the intention to do what the church does. Now, when an Arab in a towel head, an old towel head, says, you good men, I do what you want, then he wants to do what the church does. He doesn't know what the church does, but he wants to do what I want, and what I want is what the church does. So he wants to do what the church does. This is the old teaching of the church. That's not new. So unless the forgiving of the original sin is excluded, it's valid. If a new priest says, you're hereby received in our community, and I congratulate you, and therefore I receive you right here, and I baptize you in the name of Christ, this is not valid baptism. Because baptism is not a reception into a community. Baptism, the essential of baptism is to get rid of our original sin.
All of our
deacons
baptized.
Yes,
all our deacons baptized.
In perfect agreement. The church is in perfect agreement. A deacon can baptize. A deacon always could baptize. And a deacon always could solemnly baptize.
In the noble order.
In the noble order. You
got to
know our culture too,
though. Well, he's not a deacon. He's not a deacon. He's a priesthood. He's a deacon that's been in the noble order.
Wait a second. Again, that has nothing to do with the culture here. Again, the question is he a validly ordained deacon?
I don't know.
But again, listen, I told you before, we are talking about two different things here.
Even if he isn't.
He could, of course. We must not confuse licitness and validity.
We can baptize.
Who's talking here, I or you? Okay, now,
We are not talking about licitness, we're talking about validity. I just told you anybody, a woman too, even a woman can baptize. Yeah, well, if, there you go.
What I'm saying is this, that we listen, the baptismal manuals have stuff and study them, and they have no intention of doing what the church does.
Exactly. That's what I said. If you use one of those books, and one of those books tells you you're receiving somebody into a club, there is no baptism. Huh? But if that deacon, let's say, is a better man than his ritual, and using the liberty of liturgy nowadays, uses, has the manual right there, but he says, we receive this beautiful child here into the church because, and we baptize this church, this beautiful child because it has to get rid of original sin, then baptism is valid. Baptism, not mass. Baptism. That's illicit, but it's not necessarily invalid. Depends what they say. Baptism is always valid when the extermination of original sin is not excluded, is implicit.
Does it matter if they define original sin in a different way?
Yes, it matters if the environment. Yes. Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. If original sin is not seen as a spiritual.
The religion teachers that I don't know what they do in the seminary, they teach religious teachers that a
something that you get
environment. Well, the exact word is conditioned of the world.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of the condition of the world by what child you have.
That's why we have to protect the spotted owls.
Yeah,
collect the whole collection. Who? I don't follow these things. I'm not interested in what happens out there. Yeah, I'm not interested in what they do. Oh, it's a woman, Mother Angelica. And she says Mass? Oh. It's Novus Ordo. Hey, wait a second. This is... Quiet. Shut up. What's the Mother Angelica Mass? Is Novus Ordo? Well, what I said about Novus Ordo? Okay, might be valid, it might not be. I would have to hear it and judge it, and then I'm not the Holy Office either. Well, the new mass is said strictly to the book in Latin, strictly to the book. If it is strictly to the book, said in Latin, if it is strictly to the book, if the man who celebrates the mass has been ordained strictly to the book, leaving nothing out, changing nothing, then I consider it valid.
No, he does not.
See, the thing is,
you have to be a
theologian. What you miss? No, I'm not contesting the validity here, but it's not an issue. The validity is not an issue in that case because, generally speaking, the validity of the new mass is of no concern to us. Why? The Russian Orthodox Mass is valid. You still can't go there. The Russian Orthodox Mass is an insult to God because it's celebrated by a priest who rejects the papal infallibility and the primacy of the Pope. But the Russian Orthodox Mass is valid. The Greek Orthodox Mass, they are heretics and schismatics, but the Greek Orthodox Mass is always valid. I'm not interested, basically, if the new Mass is valid or not. The reason why I tell you do not go to communion in the new church is because you do not know. And you are bound by the church to follow the safer course. That means go to St. Pius X. You're not allowed to go to the new mass. But if the new mass is, if Mother Angelica's mass is valid or not, I don't care. Whatever they do there, it's against the will of God, it's against the will of the Council of Trent, it's against the will of St. Pius V, it's against divine law, it's against eternal law. What are you concerned with? Why do you break your head over something that is illicit anyway?
Well, the ordinary priest, they hear they hear Latin Jews and they think
Yeah, but it isn't. You see?
No. Once and for all, it is not.
It is not. No, that's not my opinion. This is the opinion of the Council of Trent.
Right.
The Council of Trent in the 7th session, Canon 13, said, whoever says that any of the pastors, that includes the Pope, any of the pastors, whoever says that any of the pastors may add onto liturgy, subtract from liturgy, or write up a new liturgy, anathema said. In the new Mass? Did you follow it with the old missal? Did you follow it with the old missal in your hand?
I have
many
times.
Oh.
With the traditional missal?
Does the priest say in Triba Tactare Dei of them great difficulty when tut the mayor?
Yes.
Is it the old Mass there?
I just got a few spotless criteria, which is, saying the true Mass is no problem.
If he says the true Mass, fine. If he doesn't, then it's not.
But what I hear, she just adds a little Latin to fool the people.
It's not just the consecration. She does, they do have it.
It's not just the consecration.
No, it's not just the consecration.
It must the whole. There are some of them that are
lyrical,
right from the beginning to the end.
No.
I would have heard of that. Next question. Yeah, well, you got the criteria and check with the old missal, and that will give you the answer.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Mother Angelica's Mass, so I can only answer in principle, okay? Yes.
Every time that I have seen Mother Angelica's Mass, the Latin is at the beginning, the consecration comes in English. Three priests are on the altar trying to consecration. Consecration is in English, and the words used are for all. The new translation.
That's the new Mass.
Yeah, that's the new Mass.
Definitely the new Mass. That's definitely the new Mass, and therefore I'm not interested if it's valid or not, because it's illicit in any case.
I'll have to pay more attention.
Yeah, it's against the divine law in any case.
That's what's good about the button.
Yeah.
You can turn it
off.
That's what's good about the button. You can turn it off.
Oh, I would never switch it on. I mean, I watch good movies. I would never watch a Mass on TV. I prefer a good movie. Give me Red October anytime.
But they're such beautiful priests.
They're so beautiful priests. I prefer beautiful girls. Go ahead.
We're not speaking of the outer appearance of the priests. I'm speaking of the inner manner. Maybe they're almost
saints, but what they do is against divine law. See, I'm a rotten bum, but what I do at Mass is not against divine law.
Father, what order are you?
Excuse me?
What order are you?
I'm diocesan.
God?
Yep, I'm diocesan.
I think you have known your bishop.
You are bishop.
No, I is bishop, so you report.
Report me, you'll have fun.
In Europe, they have all the Novus Ordo, also all over Europe.
They have the Novus Ordo all over the world, and the Novus Ordo has been introduced into the Eastern countries, which is one of the beautiful results of the so-called opening in 89. In Brno, in Czechoslovakia, I could see how far they've gone with the Novus Ordo, because in a beautiful church, I think it's St. Thomas Church in Brno, they had an evening Mass, maybe it was an evening service, in Czech, with a new Mass in Czech, with an altar, a so-called altar facing the people, which means with the usual gourmet table, the usual gourmet dining table and buffet table, and gorgeous Czech blondes at medium age, 21, in tight-fitting dress, were singing for the Mass.
Where is
St. Thomas in Brno, if you want to go there. So they have been full of Novus Ordo size. Yeah, fully Novus Ordo size. Yeah. And the Cardinal Archbishop of Prague is a modernist to the core. Yeah, it took 2,000 years to build the church to the point where it was, and it took 30 years for them almost to tear it down. But rest assured, we will survive, thanks to the Society of St. Pius X.
And
And Fatima, don't you think that Fatima also predicts that third secret is what's going on today, though?
Well, I cannot give you a definite answer on that. I haven't read it, but this is the only logical answer. It's the only logical answer, but sometimes logics are not the answer. I have to be diplomatic on that. I don't know.
Do you believe in Fatima?
I sure believe in something that was approved by a miracle that has been seen by 70,000 people and by some other people in 15 miles distance from the place where the miracle took place. This is the only reason why I believe in Fatima, because principally I'm against visions, against apparitions, and against miracles. I do not believe them until they're proved. As I give you one example, this is interesting to know for you. Saint Catherine Laboure, she was the one with the miraculous medal. Saint Catherine Laboure had apparitions from Our Lady. I believe they're true for one reason. There is one incident in the evening, in the late afternoon, St. Catherine Laboure had another apparition from Our Lady. Our Lady was sitting in a chair. St. Catherine Laboure knelt with her hands in the lap of Our Lady, imagine, and they had a nice conversation. And then the bells rang for Vespers. Now, you know, nuns are supposed to attend Vespers, okay? The bells rang for Vespers, and St. Catherine Laboure got up and said to Our Lady, "I'm sorry, I have to go," and went to Vespers and let Our Lady sit there.
Oh, so you don't believe that.
The next day, Our Lady came back and said to St. Catherine Laboure, "If you had not gone to Vespers as you are commanded to last night, I would not have been allowed to come back." That should teach you something. No, that's definitely authentic. That is authentic. Because that's the whole point. You see? Most of the apparitions go against the church teaching. That crazy lunatic down there in northern Italy called Don Gobbi with the Marian movement, who supposedly has Our Lady appearing to him for many years already. Don Gobbi. Oh, if you don't know him. Gobbi. Don Gobbi. Yeah. Stefano Gobbi. Yeah. And Don Stefano Gobbi is as authentic as a Diet Coke. And He is, but Diet Coke is not Coke, come on. He is as authentic as a Diet Coke because he claims to have apparitions from Our Lady and visions and whisperings from her, but he endorses the new mass and the ecumenical movement. And in Medjugorje, something similar happens. Well, Medjugorje is a business fraud anyway. Well, Medjugorje was started by a couple of youngsters who wanted to make a joke, and two greedy Franciscans found out how you can make money that way. Franciscans always know how to make money, believe me. And Medjugorje is not authentic because, first of all, Our Lady says the rosary there. That means Our Lady says the Hail Mary. Our Lady cannot say the Hail Mary. No, of course not. Imagine. How can Our Lady say pray for a sinner? That would be blasphemy.
She's not a sinner.
No, she never was. Huh? And so Medjugorje is fraud. Look in Bayside, Our Lady, quote unquote, said that the unknown flying objects, the flying saucers, are vehicles for the demons. According to my theology, a demon doesn't need a vehicle. And he has no driver's license. He has no driver's license. He has no pilot's license.
Why can't you get more free to be like humans?
Don't say that. It's against the rule of humility of Saint Benedict. Do not praise me in public. If you say to me in private, I say, "Thanks, madam."
Well, what can we do to help?
Make everybody in the United States subscribe to the Angelus. This is what you can do. Hey, you wanted to know what you can do? Make everybody in the United States subscribe to the Angelus. This is what you can do. Society of St. Pius X Chapel. Yeah. Subscribe to the Angelus. That's all I can tell you. And never forget one thing. Because I know how demanding people are, especially nowadays. Everybody wants to have his own priest. A priest to his liking. Don't. You have no right to.
How do we get our young
Let them read the let them read the what is it called?
They look at TV.
Show them these tapes. If the only perception left to these poor children is visual, let them have my tape. And as far as the Society of St. Pius X is concerned, I will never get tired of reminding people of the fact. Sometimes it could happen to you that you have a personal experience of lesser enjoyability, this political correct talk, with one of the priests of the Society of St. Pius X. Do not be disillusioned. Do not stay away. In the old days, in the last century, not every parish priest was a joy. And yet you went to his Sunday Mass, right? So don't make that mistake. It happened to several, I couldn't say many, because the very vast majority of the priests of the Society of St. Pius X are good and holy men. But of course they're not all perfect. Some of them will not be your style, let's say. Some of them you might not like as much as you unfortunately like me, but some of them might not be what you expect, but let this be of no concern to you. You are not going there to see a priest, you are going there to have Mass. If you like the priest, then enjoy him. If you don't like him, pray for him, but go to the Mass. Because only at the chapel of St. Pius, not because it's valid, but because it's licit. Of course it's valid, otherwise it wouldn't be licit. But validity is not sufficient. A Mass has to be valid and licit. That means it has to be in the law of God. It has to be a pleasing act to God. It has to be what God wants. And listen to his sermons. Listen to his sermons, because only at the chapel of St. Pius X you can be sure that the sermon was correct. It might be an utterly boring sermon, I don't know. It might be a thrilling sermon, but only at the chapel of St. Pius X you will be sure the sermon is correct. And with the Fraternity of St. Peter you get a lot of, you know what, sometimes. And with the other groups. With the Society of St. Pius X you can rest assured that the sermons are correct and in order. They might sometimes be not of very great interest to you, but they will always be correct. You cannot be misled by them. That's the point.
Now, how are their priests formed that let you to say that?
Their priests are formed in a way that bishops in the 1930s would be happy to have had. Seminaries in the 1930s were not nearly at the intellectual and spiritual level of the seminary of Winona, under the leadership of Bishop Williamson. Richard Williamson. Huh? Winona, Minnesota. That's the seminary for the Society of St. Pius X in America. In North America, I should say. South America, you have the one La Reja in Argentine. And they have seminaries that are very strict, like military academies. And on a level that most bishops dreamed of 70 years ago. Huh? The only reason why I never joined the Society of St. Pius, one of the few reasons why I never joined the Society of St. Pius X is because I do not get wine on weekdays and I do not accept that. Period. But there is nothing wrong with them as far as important things are concerned, believe me. No, I would give that up readily. No.
I know they're not allowed to watch television.
Wine is 10,000 times more important than movies. Okay, any other question left?
The purifier.
A what?
Wine is a purifier.
Among many other things. But Gilbert Keith Chesterton, as usual, was right when he said there's only one legitimate motive to drink wine, and this is because you like it. No, I just said because you like it. Didn't I express my opinion very clearly?
Hey,
madam, I ain't no prophet.
We have a bunch of candles.
I know that the chance of a Catholic Pope succeeding is minimal.
Put your money on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Humanly speaking, no.
I ain't no prophet.
No. I sure ain't no prophet.
What a good way that possibly could be.
Together.
Together.
Don't forget, I can't look into the hearts of men. There might be a hidden good man turn out differently than expected. Huh? He may boomerang on them.
Yes.
And that's our only chance. Yeah, that's right. He might be.